My own Gohoey name is Gaunetto, carrying flowers, given to me by my father, who has passed away. I'm from the Cayuga Nation, Turtle Clan, Six Nations of the Grand River. I'm a self-taught researcher. I do public speaking, and I believe in the unity of our people. And I was invited to come and sit in on the Conference of Environmental Issues concerning the land and our people.
And can you tell us a little bit more about the main struggles and issues that your community is facing at Six Nations?
The main struggles are jurisdiction of the land as title holders, and illegal interference by the Canadian government. Our people are being arrested and have warrants. Land development, encroachment, division—the division that has been perpetrated by the government through the divide and conquer policy. We're dealing with a lot of issues right now, probably because in the last 3 years we have been asserting our sovereignty. 1924, the Canadian government imposed an illegal elected system on us to rid our nation of our traditional government, who is the Confederacy. The Confederacy is the oldest and the longest democracy ever that existed. We have a matriarchal society through our clan system, who is the women. The women are the political backbone, I guess you want to call it, of our nations. Because the way our governing system is structured, it goes through consensus. Everybody like that, they consist of the Six Nations. There is Cayugas, Mohawks, Oneidas, Onondagas, Senecas, and Tuscaroras. Those are the Six Nations that make us up. And to make that Confederacy Council, it involves every one of us with our clan mothers and our hereditary chiefs. And to take you back to what happened in 1924, when the government, let's go to the beginning, kind of, because we are a sovereign nation. The government, when Canada wanted to become a country, and this is what I'm told by our elders, a couple of elders that have told the story. When Canada wanted to become a country, they had to take us out because we are a sovereign nation. And what they did was, when the Europeans, the settlers came in onto the land, the government here's some land. When you farm the land, you can have it. You can have the titleship afterwards. And one of our agreements, one of our treaty agreements, arrangements back in the days was that we would share. We would share and look after the coming of all new faces. So what happened is we never knew what the government was doing behind the scenes. All we knew is that here's some people that came in and visit. At first it was visitations. They come in and visit us, and we taught them things, we showed them things, how to farm the land and everything. So then the following year, they came in to visit, and we got them started on helping them, show them how to garden and stuff. So then the following year, they came back again on the third year, and they spent the night. They never left since then. So in part of these leased, the Haldimand Track, where we sit, Six Nations, consists of over 920,000 acres of land. And back in the day, there were lease agreements. One of the stipulations was that They would pay 2 cents annually on every acre. And because we were not money people, our money was piling up. So when Canada was trying to become known as a nation country, they looked at us and they said, okay, well, here's a sovereign nation. Now what do we do and how do we get that taken from them to give to us? We have their land, but they're still operating. See the Canadian government, what they look at, what they think is the power is the money. We don't look at that. We don't look at money as being a power. So they wanted the power, so they thought, okay, well, we'll take the money, right? So they borrowed money from us. And one of the McGill University was fallen. So they borrowed money to restructure the McGill University. The Upper Law Society, they built money to build the Welland Canal. The Welland Canal was formed on flooded lands, which is in the negotiations right now. They offered us $25 million for a settlement, which we're saying no. And there is a few other infrastructures that we had lent money to Canada for. And so then they said, okay, well, they still have revenue coming in. So then they said, well, how about we set up a trust fund? So they set up a trust fund because we're trustworthy people. We trusted that their word was good. So we set up a trust fund. And after the trust fund was set up, in 1921 was the last accounting of our trust fund. In 1924, they sent the RCMP in on us to rid our traditional government. And that is how Canada from that point on, Canada taught their citizens that all Ojibwe people are Canadian citizens. And that's how, that is in violation of an international agreement. An international agreement in a sense of the form of a treaty. And it's called the Kuswanta. It's a two-world wampum. In that treaty, we pledged with the Europeans that we would, in our canoe, we would have our customs and our laws and our people. In their boat, they would have their customs, their laws, and their people. And that we would travel down the river side by side as brothers, and that we would never try and steer one another's vessel until the all through the years, while the grass grows, the sun shines, and the water flows. That treaty is alive and stays alive until those things cease to exist.
When you spoke yesterday and shared your story about your community with everybody, you also was referencing 2006. Mm-hmm. And could you talk a little bit more about mm-hmm. that and that reclaiming mm-hmm. of your traditions and your land?
Mm-hmm. So that was then. And so like all these years, throughout the years, the Confederacy has, our hereditary chiefs have tried to approach Ottawa and Ottawa officials and to say that we're still here. Since 1924, we have been dealing with the elected system, which has gotten us nowhere. brings us up to the date of February 28th, 2006. There's developers in the name of, at the time was Douglas Creek Estates. They were trying to build and develop on a land that sits parallel with us of Caledonia, named Caledonia. And what happened is There were some of us that, some of the women got together and they were like doing research, background research on unsurrendered land, land that belongs to us. And this was part of the land. So they went to the elected council to try and get some support of trying to stop the development. And I guess in a sort of way they, I can't remember what happened with that. And they went to the Confederacy. They got the support to say that they could go down there for educational purposes. So it turned into something so much more. It wasn't a matter of, it turned out to be us standing on the land. So we went in and we stayed there. There was people started congregating and we stayed there and stopped the development. Henco, who was the developer, was serving us with, in the meantime, Henco was looking at a legal way of trying to get, remove us off of our own land. And one of the things that he sought was an injunction. The injunction was under dispute with our people because we have, through the treaties that I mentioned, we have this relationship. And through the and because of the treaty, it's as it's an international agreement, and the agreement is that we would respect your ways and you would respect our ways. So through that agreement, things have gotten broken. The relationship is in shambles. And so when developers seek to get in court injunctions, that threatens a peace. And then when the courts or the judges or the OPP, the RCMP's army, when they act on those injunctions, that is declaring war on us.